Good evening, you wonderful people.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have good news for you. It gives this universe that we live, move, and have our being in great pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom being joy, peace, bliss. And it's absolutely wonderful. With that, I will do spiritual mind treatment. And for the one person in the group that doesn't know spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. It's an organized form of prayer. And we do this to affirm or reaffirm what the universe already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. All those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I am absolutely delighted to be connected. To be connected with the only power there is in the universe. And that power is a power for good. And I use that power. I use that power constantly. So that I can bring into my life all the good, all the abundance, and all the prosperity. And that certainly includes money. So right here and right now, knowing this, I turn this over to God. And I no longer bother with it. I no longer worry about it. I know that it is already done. And I let that be so, and so it is. If you'll pick up your little handouts tonight, we're going to talk a moment because we have been trying to bring, or I have been trying to bring people up to the idea of spiritual mind treatment, or just plain old prayer. We use it, and we say it's a scientific prayer, simply because it has steps. But so many people think that they're not doing it correctly. I want you to realize that you're always doing it correctly. You have to realize that you are individualized expressions of the one mind, the mind of God. So you have to do it your way. These are just merely guidelines. So if you get a step wrong, or if you put it in the wrong place, I don't always put them in the same place. I shuffle them all up. But I've been doing it for so long that it doesn't bother me in the least. And I certainly know that it doesn't bother this thing that we call God. The main thing in any prayer that you're doing is to believe in that prayer. To believe in what you're saying. Remember the example, when you want something, or want to mail something, you put it in the mailbox and you let that go, and you know it's going to get to where it's going. You don't rush out and try to redo it all the time. And that's what many people do with spiritual mind treatment or just plain prayer. You can do it any way you want to do it. That is what these two handouts are about. And they come from Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount. So let's go over them quickly. And here it says, in recent years, the Lord's Prayer has often been rewritten in the affirmative form. Yes, we always make spiritual mind treatment in the now, in an affirmative thing. Because we don't want to bring negativity into it. We have to stay on the positive side. This thing that we call God does not live in negativity. Negativity only lives in the mind of man. It does not live at all in the mind of God. So we make it affirmative. So in this style, for instance, the clause, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, becomes, thy kingdom is come, thy will is being done. So you have to put it that way. All such paraphrasings are interesting and suggestive, but their importance is not vital. There's no importance in that. The affirmative form of prayer should be used for all healing work. You have to affirm, I have health, I have money. When we say healing, healing means all that. Healing is not just a physical healing. Healing is a mental healing. It's a healing from poverty. So you have to put healing things that you want to heal in an affirmative type way. I am rich now. We're going to talk about that later. The affirmative form of prayer should be used to heal, but it is only one form of prayer. Jesus used the invocatory, I said that right, form very often. That means to invoke something. You invoke God. Well, we very seldom have to invoke God. Why? Because God is always here. There are many people who want to conjure God up or conjure something up. You don't have to conjure anything up. It's already here. So very seldom is that used. Though not always and frequently, the use of this form is essential to the growth of the soul. Yes, because you have to sometimes do that to remind your own self that God is within me, that God is the one that's doing the work. Jesus said, it's the Father within that doeth the work. Sometimes we forget that. But you never can forget that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It is not to be confused with begging. And we get that idea of begging because of this thing, pleading with his master. God, subjects beg and whine to God as a slave pleading to the master. Well, that's leftover from slavery. It's left over when there were noble people around, when there were all that, and you always had to beg the master for whatever you wanted. Give that up. You never go to God begging. That's an old thing. You never go to God on your hands and knees, by the way, either. You can do that, but it's certainly not necessary. First of all, it's very bad for the knees. And second of all, God doesn't know you're doing that. God does not know you're doing that. Do you think God's looking down and saying, oh, you're better because you're on your knees? No. God does not know that. That is always wrong. Ha ha ha. The highest of all forms of prayer is true contemplation, in which the thought and the thinker become one. Contemplation. When I say, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, then I contemplate in my own mind, what does that mean to me, not to anybody else? So each time if you're using that, ask, what does this mean to me? How is this doing? And contemplate on those things. Contemplate on what's good in your life. That's the highest. Okay. This is the unity of the mystic, but it is rarely experienced in the early stages. Of course. What are we doing? We're always growing in consciousness. We're not growing in spirituality, by the way. There is no way that anyone can be more spiritual than anybody else. But there is a way that we can structure our consciousness, and our consciousness can become bigger than somebody else's. But their consciousness can come up to that. We can keep growing. But the spirit that you are is always there, exactly the same. You just have to bring yourself to that point of knowing that and understanding that so that you feel that for yourself, and you do that through contemplation and through prayer. And this is the best one. Prayer is whatever way you find easiest, for the easiest way is always the best. Now, I here try to use the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Always, this teaching is very simple. People want to make it difficult. because the intellect gets in there, and you want to prove how smart you think you are. And as soon as you start to prove how smart you are, this whole thing goes out the window. Keep it simple. Make it easy on yourself. I believe in God, and I know God's doing this. What can be simpler? Instead of saying, oh, I have to do this 130 times, I have to go around the rosary, I have to do this, I have to do that. Nothing wrong with going around the rosary. That's a form of contemplation. But it usually becomes so automatic and so stale that doesn't mean a damn thing. Keep your fingers working. Let's go on to the next page, please. Thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. Okay. This is a wonderful thing, summing up the essential truth of the omnipresence and all and the allness of God. It means that God is indeed all in all. Now, this is very important. All in all, the doer, the doing, and the deed. And one can say also the spectator. Because God is all in all. There is nothing outside of God. There is nothing but God. And you must think of that for yourself. When I'm using this word God, you must bring it down to your own self again and use that all that I am is God routine. So if God does that, is the doer, you have to know that you're the doer. But it's God working through you. And you're also the spectator of your own life. Many people put it this way. You are the star in your own life. You are the movie that you're starring in. You are the producer of that movie. And you're watching that movie. If you don't like what you're watching, you change it. Go to the cutting room. Edit out the parts you don't want. And visualize that piece of film dropping on the floor. And then don't pick it up again, paste it back in there. Just cut it out of your life. This is the power that you have. And this is how simple life can become for you. But contemplate on those things. Visualize those things. Use these different tools that we have. And you'll see a great difference. Okay. Where was it? The kingdom, in this sense, means all creation on every plane. For that is the presence of God. God as manifestation. Or expression, so that when you look out, all you see is God. When you look at that table, you see God. You don't see a table. Now you can see a table, but in the back of your mind, you have to know that that's God too. Because as soon as we see something that isn't God, what does that do? Causes separation. Causes separation immediately. And as soon as you have separation, you do not have a demonstration. You cannot manifest anything if there's separation in there. And we'll talk about separation in a minute and what that actually means. Just as the pianist produces his music by means of or through his fingers, so may mankind be thought of as the fingers of God. Many times I say, you want to see the hand of God? Here it is. This hand is the hand of God. Your hand is the hand of God. Your body, the whole thing. You have to see that, feel that, and know that. If you don't know it now, keep thinking about it till you do know it. Make yourself believe that. That's the power that you have in your mind. Fingers of God. His is the power. If when you are praying, you hold the thought that this is really God who is working through you, your prayers will gain immeasurably in efficiency. Say, God is inspiring me now. God is working through me now. When I come up here to teach, you think I come up here by myself? You think I sit here and think, oh, well, now, Dallas, what's your mind going to talk about? How are you going to put all this together? I have no idea how I do this. But I sit and I know that God knows. And I know that God is working through me right here and right now. And I know that the right and perfect ideas are coming to me right here and right now. And I know that everything that I say will inspire each and every one of you. I affirm all that before I ever start out to do anything. You have to affirm. Go on auditions. How many times have I said, send the Spirit before you? Make your way clear. Then sit down when you see that script and say, I don't know anything about this script, but I know that God knows everything that's going on here. And I know that God is working through me right here and right now, and I will give the best reading that I have ever given, and I will book the job. Try. Works every time. If and when you have any ordinary things to do, you hold the thought, divine intelligence is working through me now. You will perform the most difficult task with astonishing success. I have often walked into disorganization and people have said to me, can you do something about this? I take one look at it and want to run out the door. But I stand there and I say, no, I have no idea how to do this. But I know that the power within me, which is the power of God, can organize this and get it done before. And I step right out and I say, I can get this done lickety-split. I have an affirmation that I do all the time. And it is this, whatever short time may rot, everything ready right on the dot. You want me to say that?
Yes.
Whatever short time may rot, everything ready right on the dot. And I got that from a friend of mine, L.B. Moore. L.B. Moore has made her transition many years ago. I worked for L.B. Moore. L.B. Moore and I ran a cafeteria for actors, and we cooked meals for them, and I did the cooking. L.B. did the planning and drank a lot of vodka and took naps, and I loved it because I'd say, go take a nap, L.B., and I'll get this done. So at the end of one of the seasons, she wrote a piece of poetry, and it was called Ode to Our Chef, meaning me. And it went, Ode to Our Chef Supreme. He wears ragged shorts in need of a scene. Wears ragged shorts in need of a scene. He does his laundry by stirring the pot and sprinkles parsley quite a lot. But whatever short time may rot, everything ready, right on the dot. So I use those things. Use all this stuff to your advantage. But when you go in and anything looks confusing, looks anything, and you're overwhelmed by it, you know perfectly well that the mind of God cannot be overwhelmed by it, and you're a part of the mind of God. So you ask for help. You ask for help in every situation. The reason why most people do not ask for help is because they listen to the ego mind who says, oh no, I can do it. I can do this. And 16 hours later, you're still trying to get the damn thing done, and if you'd asked God, you'd had it done too. But it organized itself, and you'd be surprised how that works. But you have to try it. You have to ask. This thing that we call God is there every moment to help you. Every moment. In every situation. You cannot make those big statements. that you've heard all your life, all things are possible with God, and then put, but in this case, I don't think so. You can't do that to yourself, and you can't do that to God. So think of those things. The wondrous changes that come over us as we gradually realize that the omnipresence of God really means transfigures every phase of our lives. The omnipresence of God transfigures every phase of our lives. Why are we afraid to use this? Why are we afraid to use God? How many times have I said to you, and you've heard this all your life, God is mighty? Well, big deal. God is also useful. Use God. Use God to bring what you want into your lives. Turning sorrow into joy. I love this next one. Age into youth. I'm using. And dullness into light and life. Dullness. This is the glory. And the glory which comes to us is, of course, God's too. And the bliss we know in the experience is still God himself. Now, you have to remember when Emmett Fox uses himself. That's because this was written a way back when. We changed that to itself. We never use God in any he, she, or it type. That we use it in an it type way. But we never give God any anthropomorphic qualities. We do not make God human. As soon as you make God human, then things are not possible. And when you make God human, you say, well, I can't do it. God's human, so God can't do it. God may get us 90% of the way, but he can't get us 100% of the way because he's human. He has human qualities. Give up that idea that God has any human qualities. And give up your human qualities and start taking on God qualities. Who is knowing the bliss through us? You have to know all that. So this is, I did this for you because of this idea of prayer. Does that help anybody? So you don't have to go down the steps. You don't have to do anything. The best form of prayer is a spontaneous prayer. It's a prayer in which you believe in what you really want. And it's in that belief. Remember my friend, Doug the Baptist? He doesn't know how to do this, but he gets what he wants. Because he believes and he just says, oh, God will do that for me. And I believe in God. You know. And we see that all the time, especially in this country, don't we? We have it printed everywhere. We believe in God, and then we throw God out the window constantly. Don't throw God out the window. Don't do that to yourself. Stay open to all these ideas. And you have to do that. You have to do that. Let me do my 3x5 cards and get those out of the way. But please, with this prayer thing, don't get all wrapped up in it. Get wrapped up in your belief and start building your belief. That will build your consciousness and that will stretch the whole thing for you. That's what you want to do with any type of prayer. How many times have I said this and I'm going to say it again? God does not ask us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. It's come in, please. We have chairs here, there, everywhere. Everyone wants to try hard, and everyone wants to think that they're not doing it right. Please give up the idea that you're not doing something right. You're doing it your way. Now, if you're doing it your way, what does that mean? You got the answer?
No. Sorry.
Doing it your way means you're doing it God's way. You're not doing it my way. You're not doing it your church's way. You're not doing it the Pope's way. You're doing it your way because you know that what you truly are is an emissary of light and love. And that you are always about your Father's business. And you have the authority from your Father to do it your way. To do it your way. What did you tell me last week? You're buying your own business. And you did it with the idea that you said, and I let that be so. Do you remember when we had that whole thing? I let it be so. I let it be so. Once you give a treatment or a prayer, you let it be so. I let that be so. Tonight, if you noticed, I let it be so. But in front of that, I said, I know that God is doing this now. And I let it be so, and so it is. You have to know that God is doing it. And you're letting it alone. You see, we make these big things. We do these prayers. And we say, oh yes, God's doing all that. And then we say, well, maybe it's not fast enough. Now, maybe I should have done that differently. Now, I hope it comes this way. You can't do that. You have to know that God's doing it. And then you let it be so. You just let it be so. And it will unfold in front of you.
I think I had a big epiphany today.
A big what?
Epiphany, like.
Oh, yes, I know that word.
Awakening. I know that we say, like, God wants to give us everything. But for some reason today it flipped over. And I was like, okay, like if you have everything, then what are you going to do? And I was just thinking, like, if I had everything I ever wanted, what was I going to do? Like, why move? Why do anything? And then it just kind of dawned on me that everything that I ever want is planted there by God. And maybe he just wants us to manifest these things quickly or however, so that we can understand him and know him in this time. So that we could get on to a new consciousness, which has nothing to do with, like, the absence of stuff.
Yes.
So everything I do is actually God asking me to do it. So I'm actually working for God. It has nothing to do with me.
You and God are the same thing.
So losing is, like, not even...
It's not possible.
It's not even my responsibility.
And you're moving to a different consciousness where you will get the kingdom of heaven. Which is joy and bliss. Everyone thinks it's material. Everyone thinks it's money. It's something else. But it's the peace that you're looking for. And you get that. And you will have that. And it's by stretching your consciousness. It's by thinking about these things. It's about knowing these things. And it's about not giving up on these things. And the only way that you can prove that God exists is to demonstrate God, is to manifest God in your own life. Otherwise, God remains airy fairy. God is not Santa Claus. God is real. Okay, does that help anybody?
Wait a minute, Santa is...
Yes, I'm afraid so. I hate to do that. It happens all the time. It's important to ask for what you want. Because our lives will reflect that which we dwell on. So you have to keep asking what you want. And dwell on that. Because if you don't keep asking, you're dwelling on something else, and you will manifest what you dwell on. Emerson said, man becomes what he thinks about all day long. So watch what you're thinking about. You want to be the actor? You say, I am an actor. I am a working actor. I make tons of money. You don't say, I'm an actor, and then say, when somebody asks you, well, what do you do for a living? I wait tables. You have to always answer with, I'm an actor. And I am a working actor. Well, then why are you waiting tables? Well, that's merely a stopgap measure right now. Thank you very much. What we perceive as being external is created by us internally. I'll read this again. What we perceive as being external is created by us internally. The mind is all powerful. You have to know that your mind is the instrument that you are using to bring what you want into your life. It's your mind that is creating your reality at every moment. That is another immutable law of the universe. People want to wiggle out of that one. People want to blame other things, don't they?
Definitely.
But you've stopped doing that, haven't you? You can never blame anything outside of yourself. The appearance may be that that's what's going on. But you have caused that on the inside of you. I will give you an example of that. I know a person who's having difficulty seeing the divine within herself. I'm changing the gender so no one knows.
You're tricky.
She cannot see the divine within her. She thinks that people are against her. And she feels less than. So she moves into a condominium where the person below her tells her that she's not very attractive. And the person above her tells her, you make entirely too much noise. And she says, now how did that happen to me? I thought surely that I was doing all right. It's always from the inner to the outer. She thinks of that about herself. And she manifests somebody to tell her that. If this did not happen, people, you would go crazy. If you thought one thought and something else happened, you'd... When we think a thought about ourselves, it will prove itself to us. So if you have any thoughts about yourself that you don't like, change that thought. And the outside world will change to meet that thought. The universe just reflects back to you what you are thinking about yourself.
But what if you don't know exactly what you're thinking about?
Well, because you see it on the outside. Consciousness is like a slip. It always shows, dear.
But isn't like the ego really tricky and tries to tell you that it might be something else where it isn't?
If you're hearing anything that's tricky, you're listening to the ego mind. Anytime you hear anything in your mind that is not loving, it's the ego mind talking. Because the other side of your mind, the part of your mind that we call divine, not that all your mind is not divine, by the way, but you're listening to the other voice in there. You have to listen to that small, still voice. And anytime I hear the word but, I know exactly that the ego just came up to bite you. Because the ego lives with ands, ifs, and buts. Always, anytime you say and, if, or but, I can assure you, you are thinking with the ego mind. And you have to think with the mind of God.
So, I have an employee that's late almost three times a week. And every time she's late, and I talk to her about it, I want her to scream and pitch her head off.
Yes.
Because it goes one ear, and then I try to go, oh, today she's not going to be late.
But she does.
And then she's later. And I'm like, okay, what am I not doing, and you just need to be fired? That's like, or what about me isn't working? I don't know what to do with it. Because I like her as a person, but I don't like her to be late every day.
Go ahead.
I don't know what to do, because my thoughts aren't pure and it starts my day off really bad.
Uh-huh. Well, you have gotten into a habit of seeing her being late. And she's going to prove that to you every time. So you have to see her as the divine coming to work every morning. And you have to realize that God is never late. God is always there on time. And as soon as you see her as God, she'll be there on time. And every time that you get upset, she becomes later.
Okay.
You see? It's a difficult one, a concept, but you have created that yourself.
That's what I'm wondering. I guess I have.
Don't guess, no. Does that help you? Now you accept those things, you see, without any shame or guilt. Now you don't punish yourself, but oh my God, I thought wrong.
Oh
you
no,
say,
I'm not doing
oh,
that.
I'm
having a hard time thinking I'm going to say, here comes God.
Well, what else could be coming?
I mean, that'd be like...
Name something else that could be coming.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to try it.
I would suggest you try it tonight.
I'll send the spirit for her.
Aha. And I would hear my own thoughts tonight. And I would love her, bless her, and release her.
Okay.
And then you can see the difference in it. That's the only way that you can change. You do not change the person. You change yourself. And the person changes.
Yeah, this is not an objection. It's just a curiosity. Nice setup. The first time I ever skydived, right, I was in complete fear. Through the training, through all of it in my head, said, this is it, you're done today, they're going to read about you, a little spot in the newspaper, you know, blah, blah, blah. All the way up, as we got higher and higher.
In a plane, I hope.
Yeah, we're in a plane. And as we got up to the altitude that we were going to, I got into a place where I was almost completely panicked. And anyway, you know, we did the skydive, and none of that happened. None of it.
Good.
And the question is that what I was dwelling on did not occur. What happened was the opposite. And so that's why I'm not objecting. I believe everything you're saying to me. It just didn't happen.
Yes.
You know, I was dwelling on death, and I experienced freedom.
you were maybe dwelling on death and you had a lot of fear, but you felt the fear and you did it anyway. And you went through that fear. If that fear was really that deep, you would have been a spot on the floor. But we all have fear. And we go through it anyway.
He trusted the process and took a leap of faith.
Yes.
Yeah. So there must have been hope right through the fear.
I hate the word hope. Hope gets you nowhere. Knowing gets you someplace. You know, that's another little trick of the ego, and I call it the loophole. The mind has many loopholes, and one of the loopholes is hope. Well, I hope this will turn out all right. But if it doesn't, you can always say, well, I hope it didn't, it didn't. You have to know that it's going to turn out all right. You have to know from the very beginning. You cannot put hope into anything. Hope is not a powerful emotion or a powerful word to use. It is a loophole. It will get you out of it. It's like, well, he intended to do that, but he didn't do it. You know. You have to do it. And you have to know. You see.
I guess hope as an action word, but I can also see that hope.
Hope is not an action word. Name how it's an action word.
Well, it's an inactive active word. I can see that if a person has, like, absolutely is going through so much depression, any type of hope would keep that person alive. You know, and that's a beginning step.
Well, hope doesn't keep anyone alive. Knowledge keeps people alive. Knowledge that they are one with God keeps people alive. Hoping that I am one with God doesn't do a damn thing for me. Knowing that I am one with God does the work. Just drop hope from your vocabulary and don't allow your mind, the ego part of your mind, to wiggle itself out of that and try to prove it. You see, we're not here to prove who's right and who's wrong. You see, I don't believe in right and wrong. I only believe in being happy. Now, tonight's thing was about reopening yourself to receive. Why are we not getting what we want? One of the reasons could be that your prayer or your affirmation has become stale, and you're just doing it out of memory, out of rote, and you're putting no emotions and no feelings into it anymore. That's the whole idea when I talked about the rosary. People just rattle that rosary off. I've seen them go around that rosary so fast, make your head swim.
Do you feel that you have to say your prayers and affirmations out loud?
No. I certainly wouldn't do it in a room full of people that didn't know what you were doing. It's a good way to get locked up or beaten. Now, the other thing that I always do, if you want to make a demonstration, only tell people that are going to build that affirmation for you and help you with that affirmation. Never tell anyone that you're doing something if they're going to start picking it apart by using words like, well, you're too old for that. They don't mean to do that, but they pick it apart. Don't go around asking people for their opinions. Remember, opinions are like rear ends. Everyone has one. Some just smell worse than others. Don't do that to yourself. If you want to talk to anyone, you talk to somebody that is on the same plane or higher than you are, so that they can help boost you, so that they can help encourage you. Not tear it apart. This is very fragile stuff that you're doing, people. And it can be pulled apart before you know it. Remember, the world out there is very convincing. And you can always get 10 people to say it can't work. trying to find 10 people who will say, go for it, it'll work. Try to do that. So don't do it. Stay. What did Jesus, the master teacher, say? He said, go in your closet. That means go within and stay there. Don't keep jumping out, yelling and screaming at other, you know. Go into your closet. Go to that spot in you. Go to that silent place within you. Build up that. Then you can step out. But don't ever step out with something before you're ready, or somebody will pick it right apart and you'll say, ugh. They deflate you. People deflate you. Don't let people deflate you. And when you go in your closet, know that what you're doing is the right way to do it. That you're asking this power, this thing called God, who happens to be your best friend, who happens to be the wealthiest person in the world, who happens to have more of everything than anybody else and is more willing to give it to you. You are never taking anything away from God. It gives God great joy for you to have things. Great joy. I think it's John 23. It gives God, fear not, little flock, for it gives God great pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Don't let fear come into it whatsoever. Know that you're being completely taken care of. I've used this before and I'll use it again. There was a movie with Anthony Hopkins. Don't remember the name of the movie. He lived with the apes. And finally he became one of the apes. Mm-hmm. And they thought he was crazy. When they asked him, why would you do something like that, he took off his clothes and said, he said it was the most wonderful feeling that he ever had, because he knew the great ape was always watching over him, taking care of him. Nothing could happen to him. Think of God as the great ape. Always taking care of you. Always watching over you. This is the way you build.
Do you believe that God tests you?
Never. Give that up.
I was hoping he'd say that.
Jesus. That came from the Baptists. And the Catholics. And the Jews. That's Ming and Maid. Oh, God's testing me. My friend Doug the Baptist, although he can pray, he says to me, oh, God's really testing me now, Dawson. I'm having a hard time here, but when I get to heaven, I'll have more than the rest of the people. Now, what does that mean? You see, if you suffer here, you're going to have glory there. Stop that. Stop that type of thinking. That's propaganda put out by organizations that want you to keep coming back to them and give a great deal of money at the same time, I may add. We're not here to suffer. This wonderful thing that we call God, this power, this energy, whatever you want to call it, never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never. It's an impossibility.
Is what you want for you ever opposed to what God wants for you?
Never. You cannot sit there and say, all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is, and then say, well, maybe I shouldn't ask for this because God doesn't want it for me to have it. God wants you to have everything. And what happens in that case is God may give you something even better and you forget what you wanted. But in the meantime, you want that. You want that. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
How does that work with, like, a girl-guy attraction? person want another individual?
You can always want another individual as long as that individual, you're not taking anything else from that individual. You're saying. You cannot have something that does not belong to you by right of consciousness. If the other person is entangled with somebody else and you want them, you cannot have that. So what you're asking me is, does God pick out soulmates and so forth? No. Sorry.
But sometimes we want something and it's either not the time for it or something better is down the pike, so we don't get what we think we want in that moment.
Yes. You don't get what you want in that moment because you're not prepared to have that at that moment. You have to grow into that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So to be open to receive, first of all, get rid of anything that's stale. Try a new approach to it. Never give up on knowing that. Never give up that God wants to give you everything. That if you want anything, an occupation in this world, you may have that occupation in this world. You say, you may have that. And it may require something. It's very difficult to grow roses at the North Pole. But if you want to grow roses, you may grow roses, but God will move you to the place where roses will grow for you. And that's the problem. Most people will not move. They will not move for God. I want it here and I want it now. And I want this right. You cannot do that. Let it open. You have to be open. I have said this before. You can only demonstrate at the level of your consciousness. So you can only demonstrate at the level of your consciousness. Now here, remember we're trying to fine-tune this year. Last year we were kicking it up a notch. Now we're fine-tuning it. How many people understand that you could only demonstrate at the level of your consciousness? Good. So when you do a treatment, now you must live at the level of the treatment. And stretch your consciousness to that level. Now, you can demonstrate at the level of your consciousness. Do you get it now, finally? Does everyone get that, how that works?
Can you give like a little example of what it means to live at the level of that?
Yes.
Because it's a little abstract.
All right. And I have one. I am a very wealthy individual. That is a treatment. Plain and simple. Now, I start to act as though I am wealthy. I start to go to wealthy places. I start to look in. How many times did I tell you? You may not be able to afford some restaurants, but you can certainly go in that restaurant and ask to see the menu. You have to get familiar with that. You can't say, I'm wealthy, and then go back to your hovel and expect to demonstrate. So you have to start moving out. And you have to start doing those things which you think a wealthy person would do. Remember, every year, Christmas Eve, I go up and down Rodeo Drive. After you do your treatment like that, then you have to do something about that. You have to start living with that consciousness. I love flowers in my house. I can't maybe afford the whole bunch, but a stem, couldn't you bring one stem in? And you watch that grow. But you do something. Because why? You are impressing the universe. You are saying, look, this is what I want. And I'm making a move towards this. And the universe then will fill the vase for you. You see? That's how it does. Anyone, does this help anyone? Does this, mm-hmm. Can you see? You must learn to live at the level of your demonstration. But you could only demonstrate at the level of your demonstration. So most people give a demonstration, you're not there yet. But you stay there, so that's all you manifest at that level. Once you do a once you do a treatment, now you move in to that level of consciousness. And you stay in that level of consciousness. And you start to treat yourself as though you were wealthy. You take a bubble bath. You light a candle. You get better perfume. You seek out a different costume. Does not require tons of money, people, to do this type of thing. Does not require. But the universe sees that and is impressed by that and says, okay, we'll back you up in that. You see? And the universe starts to back you up in that. You are never trying to convince God that you need that. You're trying to convince yourself. All we're ever doing is trying to convince our own mind of something. The mind of God already loves you, already knows that, is already willing to give you all that stuff. But you must move up to that. And you move up to it by learning to live at the level of your demonstration. And before you know it, you are there. And you'll wonder, well, how did this happen? Does that help you? I think that's maybe one of the reasons a lot of people are not, they're doing their treatment work, they're doing their affirmations and so forth, but you're not living then at that level. It doesn't mean going out and spending millions of dollars and so forth. It means seeing it, learning to live in that level. How would a wealthy person in your mind live? And then start doing that.
I've experienced that coming here, experienced it recently, and my what hit me, you know, when you were saying that is that I wasn't doing that, I wasn't living at that level, and I would fall backwards, because it's brand new and I feel like a little baby trying to walk almost, you know. And so the only thing that I realize is that I need a little bit of guidance. When my consciousness gets stretched and it's I'm in a new place, in a new world, I kind of don't know what to do, you know. But I'm there, I'm, you know, hey folks, I'm here, but I don't know.
Well, we feel uncomfortable when we look around and so forth. But you learn to live in that. And then it becomes very comfortable, you see. It becomes very comfortable after you learn to live in that demonstration. You have to learn to live in that at that level.
Yeah.
That's the way, that is absolutely the way it's done.
Yeah. I think I can do it now.
Well, I know you can do it now. How many people have a thought, they want to be very wealthy, and then a thought comes into their mind when you're walking down the street or going someplace into a restaurant, and you read the menu, and it's $54 for a hamburger, and you say, I can't afford that. You have to get out the idea that you can't afford anything. If you can't afford something, you're just right back to the level of you have that consciousness. You made a treatment, I'm very wealthy, and then you see that and you say, but I can't afford that. What you say to yourself, at the present moment, I'm choosing not to buy that $54 hamburger. But you never allow your mind to tell you you can't afford anything. That would not be living at the demonstration. You see what I'm saying? Is this helping you?
Because I know, you know, where I am right now. If people ask me, can we do this, and it's like, or, you know, an outcome, is, well, I don't want the money.
Yes.
And so I'm saying that over and over again. It's awful.
So you, from now on, you say to them, oh, thank you very much, but I am choosing not to do that at the present moment. Yeah. And then you immediately do a treatment for wealth. So that you do not keep repeating that. But you never allow your mind to tell you you can't afford something.
I'm not going to get a lot of people that said for your friends saying, oh, I got choosing not to do that right now.
Well, if they get upset, then they're not your friends.
Okay.
Or it might be something like this past weekend was an example, like a group of my girlfriends wanted to go ahead and go to a spa in February. I'm like, but looking at my schedule, I'm like, and my finances, I'm like, well, it would make me happier. I really thought about this, but it would make me happier if I went ahead and did a big piece of that. So I apologize, you know, for, you know, looking at where I'm at, I'd rather do something else.
Yes.
So it's like, it's more empowering, although it's terrifying, because you have to go ahead and
do what?
Well, you have to be authentic, and you can set up boundaries.
But also to your friends.
Yes.
You know.
But you can never live up to your friend's expectation. You are not in this world to live up to anybody's expectation but your own. You're saying? So if you're allowing your friends to tell you how you're spending your money and what you're doing, you have are not living your life, you're living their life.
Dorothy Parker said that you're never truly free until you can turn down an invitation to dinner without giving an excuse.
Yes. Yes.
I have buy lottery tickets every time, and I spend a lot of time fantasizing about what I would do if I won the lottery, and I discovered that most of the things that I want, I already have. And that a lot of the things that I think I need the lottery for, I can already do right now. And so it just gave me permission to just open my mind to every possibility. And so
yeah.
I was able to invest, buy an investment house, do all kinds of things.
Yes.
Because my mind was so open, thinking if I had the lottery.
Yes. But why don't you think, if I had all the money in the world and that money came from every channel, I'm opening myself now to every channel in the universe. If it does come through the lottery, fine, but I'm not relying on the lottery. Why don't we rely on the lottery? Well, we know perfectly well that the world tells us to rely on the lottery. It's like 20 billion to one shot. So that doesn't make sense. The other reason why we do not rely on the lottery is this. God does not throw dice. God does not gamble. And that's gambling. And I have nothing against gambling. I'm just telling you how it works. And it's great to fantasize. But now keep fantasizing that. But fantasize it with all the channels open and you don't know where they're coming from. You see. Then the money will come to you. If you limit your source of wealth just to the lottery, you have just knocked God down about 37,000 pegs. Because now God doesn't use the lottery, and you want God to use the lottery. You see? Mm-hmm. But there's all the other channels open to you. See, it's all a matter of opening yourself to everything that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
how about the people that win, though? Where does it come from?
Well, that's what we call luck. And we don't believe in luck, you see.
Yeah, I would think God did that for that person.
Oh, please.
No.
God has nothing to do with luck whatsoever. The world has something to do with luck.
Well,
the world believes in chance and accident. We do not believe in chance and accident. We believe in cause and effect. And we live in that consciousness. If you live in that other consciousness, it's up and down. It's all over the place. And you can pray till the dogs come home, or the cows, whatever comes home, to win the lotto. But you're not going to win the lotto. But that doesn't mean don't take a chance. It's a fun game. Go ahead and take a chance. But don't think that God's going to back you up in that. Because what would that do? That would show that God shows favorites, people. And God does not show favorites. Oh, I think I'll make him win. God would never do that. No? You don't understand, Jim?
No, I don't believe in love. I believe it's either God, you have it through God, or you don't. That's what I'm saying. If you say these people that win it are winning it through luck.
Yes, they are.
So
well,
there is
luck,
such a thing as luck there.
In Ray's mind, there's such a thing as luck. But let's look at all the people who won the lottery. They don't have one damn cent of it left. It all went. Why did it all go, people?
Because your consciousness was not.
They did not stretch their consciousness to be able to contain it. And it all left them. You have to stretch your consciousness.
5 months ago, soon after I started realizing much of what you're talking about, I was at an event where they gave us lottery tickets, and I always used to say to myself, well, you never win anything. So I got this ticket and I'm like, I'm going to win something today. And it wasn't a fantasy. It was, I knew I was going to win something. And I did. And it was the first time. So I manifested it. It was very interesting.
And you can do that, and that's called using willpower.
Maybe that's.
And you can use your will to bring things to you. But it's not very good to do that. And most people cannot do that. But the willpower has power. But it does not have the power that God has. So use God. So if you're not demonstrating, learn to live at the level of your demonstration. Learn to change your mind. See what's going on in there. That mere thing is, I can't afford something, stops things from coming to you. So you say to yourself, I choose not to do that at the present moment. Always knowing that it is coming, that the money is there, and that you're moving to that demonstration. If you keep saying to yourself, I can't afford something, what are you doing? You're living in that. You're living in, I can't afford, I can't have, I can't do. That's called living in lack and limitation. So check your minds and see if you're living in lack and limitation. And if you are, forgive yourself and get rid of that. Get rid of that. The master teacher said, go and sin no more. Metaphysically, that means stop thinking those damn thoughts that you're thinking. Don't keep sinning. Start thinking the correct thoughts, the thoughts of God. Start knowing that you are wealthy, that you are healthy, that you are being protected and taken care of. that this universe and this thing that we call God, here again, when I use that, it's the same, one and the same. God and the universe are one and the same people. I just interchanged them. They're one and the same because if I said God and universe, it would be separation. It's always God as the universe. I just let that part out. So know that this thing we call God, this energy, wants to give you everything. And it's waiting for you to clear your mind of all the clutter that is in there so that it can place the right thing inside of you and you can draw that demonstration to you instantly. As soon as your mind gives up any negations whatsoever, the demonstration is instant. And that's what we're always moving forward to. So that we say, I am wealthy, you can back that up immediately. And your mind doesn't say, oh yeah, but you don't have a cent in the bank. You can't afford the $54 hamburger. You see, as soon as that thought comes in, your demonstration is ruined. You have picked that demonstration up like a plant, shaking all the dirt off of it that dies. This thing loves you so much and wants to give you everything. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.